MERS Strategic is based out of, is Irma there?
Let me call to order the Police Judicial and Legal Committee meeting for Monday, March 1st. It's good to see everybody. Glorious weekend like this in Mount Pleasant. It's, it kind of puts a lot of things back into proper perspective. I know we all feel a little better, a little more energetic. Item number two on our agenda that is published before you is approval of the minutes of the February 1st meeting. Do we have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
The minutes are approved. Item number three is public comments. Is there anyone from the public here to make any comments? Please come to the lectern, name and address in 2 minutes, please. Thank you.
Hey, good morning, everybody. I'm Towner McGill, excuse me, 1347 Outreach Lane. Today, you guys are going to be talking about a potential resolution on redistricting. As you're probably aware, there's only 46 Senate districts in South Carolina, and we have three of them here. We have 34, 37, and 43. A lot of people might say, that sounds great to me. Towner, we have three state senators representing us in Columbia. I disagree with the premise. I'd ask if we truly have one senator representing us in Columbia. I think that's kind of part of the problem with redistricting. Most people don't understand the significance of it or the process, and they're kind of kept in the dark on it. 43, which includes much of Mount Pleasant Islands and goes all the way down to Beaufort, is made up of less than 40% voters from East Cooper. 37, which goes from Mount Pea up to Monk's Corner and Bono, is made up of only a third of voters from East Cooper. And that's not the worst one. 34, which is my district, stretches from Venning Road all the way up to the south end of Myrtle Beach. It's only comprised 16% of East Cooper voters in the total amount of the district. Our senator is a good guy, Stephen Goldfinch. I voted for him. I talk to him pretty regularly. But how can he be expected to truly represent the interests of and the issues that we have here in Mount Pleasant? As a community, we have almost 83,000 registered voters on our own. I think our town and the citizens here need to send a message to Columbia that we'd like more pragmatic representation. And this year is our chance to do it. It's not a partisan issue, it's just common sense, and we shouldn't make it one. But when you look at the way people voted in the last Senate election, we didn't necessarily vote the same way the further reaches of the districts did either. We're going to live with the decisions made in redistricting for the next 10 years. Mount Pleasant's already the fourth largest municipality in the state, and we continue to grow. Let's make sure our interests are represented in the state's most powerful chamber by sending a resolution from this body and bringing more awareness to the issue. Thank you.
Thank you, Towner. Anyone else for public comments? Last call. All right, thank you very much. Employee years of service recognition. Does it start with police, or is that a separate one too? Is one the courts? Wow.
Good morning, Mayor, council members. Barbara Ash McDonald started in the finance department with the town of Mount Pleasant in 2005. Approximately 6 months later, she was appointed clerk of council when the previous clerk retired. In 2009, she took a leave of absence to go overseas and help care for her mother. During that time, I was working as the administrative secretary in the executive office and was appointed acting clerk in her absence. When Barbara returned, she decided to resign and move overseas to continue caring for her mother. That's how I actually ended up becoming the clerk. Several years later, after moving back to the state, she was rehired to work in the executive office in October of 2015 as the administrative secretary. Barbara works diligently on the minutes for town council and several committees, assists with council meetings, steps in to cover me when I'm out of the office, and does whatever is necessary to ensure that our office runs smoothly. During the pandemic, when the offices were closed, in her downtime, she volunteered with the sidewalk assessment program. And when court resumed and they did not have a bailiff, she without hesitation stepped in and performed bailiff duties. Barbara has a great attitude, a wonderful work ethic, and she taught me everything I know. Barbara, come up here. Congratulations on your 10 years of service. Thank you for being a great mentor and coworker, and more importantly, my friend. Mm-hmm. I look forward to serving with you for many years. Oh, I guess we have to hang on.
We have the picture.
We have the picture. It's here for you.
Thank you.
For good luck.
Sorry.
Thank you.
And I'd like to chime in because we see you every day, and we appreciate all that you do on that wing of Town Hall. And in case you didn't know, if you have any general questions on nutrition and wellness, she is your source. Fantastic. All right, next.
Good morning, Mayor and council members. Senior Police Officer Michael Crispell, come forward, please. I'm going to take this opportunity to recognize one of our officers for 15 years of service. Officer Crispell joined the police department in March of 2006, and as is the case with all police officers, he started in the patrol division. When the Waterfront Park opened, he was one of the original Waterfront Park officers. He worked there for several years, looking at for all of the safety of the people visiting our Waterfront Park. In 2016, he joined the traffic unit. And, you know, Michael, as you're aware, traffic enforcement's not just about managing traffic. It's about keeping the motoring public safety and safe. As a parent with a 15-year-old with a learner's permit, I am very grateful to you and all the other traffic officers for what you do day in and day out. So on behalf of everybody here today, the citizens of Mount Pleasant, thank you for 15 years of service, and we look forward to many more. Congratulations.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was item number five. Item number six would be judicial matters. There are no agenda items. Is that correct? All right. Item number seven is legal matters. 7A is review and possible action involving code of ordinance changes related to the recent department restructuring. Mr. Pagliarini.
Good morning, Mayor. Good morning. And members of the committee. You no doubt have received the 857 pages of our code. Not all of pages, of course, which we are looking into amending. And the basis for this are revisions related to departmental restructuring. As you are aware, our departments, primarily planning, transportation, have been restructured and renamed. And these changes are not what I would call substantive changes. They are essentially cosmetic procedural type changes to reflect the name changes as well as responsibilities in those respective departments. A few highlights. The Transportation Department, what was formerly the Transportation Department, is now the Engineering and Development Services Department. Our finance is now Financial and Corporate Services. Some changes in responsibility, stormwater, and impact fees are now administered by the Engineering and Development Services Department, not our Planning Department. And many of our enforcement measures, which were formerly under our Planning Department, are now in our EDS Department. Under the titles, our Director of Administrative Services, Marcy, is now the Director of Financial and Corporate Services. Our Director of Planning Development is now our Planning, Land Use, and Neighborhoods Director. And again, our Department of Transportation is now Engineering and Development Services. On the screen in front of you is a summary of highlights to our various code changes. And so you are aware, again, this is a substantial amount of information. This is the first time you'll be seeing this, or basically an overview. Some matters will go to our Planning Commission, those items related to our zoning code and a recommendation on our land development regulations. So those will go through that various process. And following that, This will come back to this committee next month for further comment and discussion before it all goes to council. At that committee meeting next month and following at council, you will see several ordinances that we will prepare breaking this down. Essentially, I think staff's made a decision that one ordinance is really too significant to deal with all of this, and therefore we'll make every attempt to further break it down by chapter. It will make it much more manageable for you all to review and see on a simpler basis. I've provided the highlights to you, and again, if you do look at the Excel spreadsheet that has been prepared, you'll see department titles are throughout the code, and a good bit of it is changing those titles. So that is the overview. I am here, and Ms. Farrell, who without question did the bulk of this tedious work in going through our code from beginning to end, is also here to answer any questions you may have.
Before we do any discussion, what would you need from this committee today?
Sir, we would just like a recommendation and a vote to move forward, and this matter will be on the agenda for Planning Commission later this month.
Okay.
We'll have the advertisements, and then again back before this committee. But again, if you have any comments regarding some changes or proposed considerations, we'd also like to know those, although we do understand this is
again,
an overwhelming amount of information and the first time you're seeing it.
So just to be clear for everybody, this does not go to council on Tuesday night. It goes to Planning Commission, then back to this committee before it ever goes to council.
Yes, sir. That is correct.
All right.
I motion to send it to Planning Commission.
Is that a motion?
Yep.
All right.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to send it to Planning Commission. Any discussion? All right. All in favor of the motion, please signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? All right. The motion passes unanimous. All right, item B, Mr. Pagliarini, review and possible action with regard to local ordinances governing trespassing on high school grounds, school grounds.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. This matter was placed on the agenda, and we presume for a discussion about our ordinances as they relate to this issue, and specifically the definition of school. Chief Ritchie and our staff attorney, Mac DeFord, are here to answer questions. So I'd ask Mr. DeFord to explain our current ordinance and at least potential changes or considerations that this committee would like to make related to that ordinance.
Thank you.
Matt?
Yeah. Thank you, Mayor, members of the committee. The current ordinance does not define a school. It encompasses both schools and colleges. The law, the state law also does not define what a school is. So that area is a little murky. The law is unclear. It would be up to the state legislator or the courts to further define what a school is. So if there was a intent for the town to define a school or include any other childcare facilities within that ordinance, that would be something that we could make a recommendation proposal on.
Okay.
Mayor, may I ask a question?
Yes.
Who put this on the agenda? Was this?
I did.
You did? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And I have spoken with the solicitor, and I've spoken with the chief briefly, but I think chief may have some more to add to this. There is inconsistent and unclear application, even in our solicitor's district, as to what constitutes a school. For instance, does a private daycare? And we're all familiar with the highly publicized case in our town two years ago. And we want to make sure that our safety and our police ability to bring charges that have to do with certain crimes. Chief, you can tell us what they all are. I think firearms, commission of crimes, and other things within 1,000 yards, selling drugs within 1,000 yards of a school. It is not clear that every private institution, church, daycare, or whatever, falls into that category. So Solicitor Wilson even suggested to us that we may want to look at our municipal ordinance that would only strengthen it and give us a safer town. So, Chief?
Certainly, Mayor, committee members. Obviously, I can't discuss that case because it's still pending,
right.
So we won't even address that here. But I think there is an opportunity, both at our level and the state level, to actually define what a school is. You look at many state laws or ordinances, there's usually a definition category that defines what the law is supposed to be covering, and we don't have that here. So to be able to identify or define what a school is would be helpful. Of course, it's of my opinion, and I think most opinion of most law enforcement folks, that a school is any place where children are being educated. That can be a daycare, right up to our colleges that are here in Mount Pleasant. So I think that any opportunity, of course, that would have to be with our legal counsel helping to draft that, to firm up and define what that is would be helpful.
Yes.
Is it possible with this ordinance that we could, I mean, because I feel like some daycares truly are daycares where there isn't necessarily like a formal education. Could it be schools and daycares, or would could we define daycares, you know what I mean? Or is it limited to schools?
Ma'am, I think for our ordinances, we can define it however we wish to define
it. Thank you.
We can be that inclusive if committee and council wish.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir. Ms. Rambo.
I'm sorry. I'm not clear the problem that we're trying to fix. What?
Again, I cannot discuss the case that's currently pending, but not defining what a school is limits us being able to maybe possibly to charge someone for disturbing a school if it's not, say, a Charleston County school or a school that's K through 12. We're looking, again, for right now, not just for what's pending, but just overall, how we can better protect our children and our citizens by including all schools within our jurisdiction.
Okay.
If that helps at all, sir. I said I got to be a little vague.
I can give you some background on it.
Okay. All right.
I would say from a legal standpoint, as Mr. DeFord stated and as Chief stated, the state in our ordinance has not clearly defined what all of this means. Therefore, it is up to individual judges, courts, on an individual case as to what, in the case of disturbing a school, or even sometimes in drug charges, what is a school? And if the town wishes to expand its ordinances to include schools, daycares, and those types of facilities, then that is with our purview to do so. And it may, in certain circumstances, make it easier for the town to enforce.
So the law around disturbing schools, though, is a state law, right? Not a town law. So charging somebody with disturbing schools can't, even if we define it, that's where I'm.
Yep, no, sir. We do have an ordinance on.
Oh, we have a disturbing schools ordinance?
Yes,
oh, okay.
Yes,
I didn't know that. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And while, again, we can't control what the state does, we can certainly request. Mm-hmm. And as the mayor mentioned, I think our solicitors around the state are familiar with this ambiguity in state law. Mm-hmm. But at least this would be an opportunity for the town to button up its ordinance in this vague scenario.
And I will add that I got a call from Representative Bustos, who is looking at introducing something similar at the state so that there's continuity all the way across the state.
Okay.
But we were encouraged to do this. Yeah. So
okay.
The chair would be looking for a motion.
I move. So would this be something that could be updated in time for next Tuesday's council meeting, or would this be just a recommendation to move forward with three?
Ma'am, we would be prepared to do so. I think one of the issues, and sometimes what we would like to do is at least prepare our change, send it to this committee, at least email it out to the committee if any suggestions you have on the language. My understanding based on this discussion is it should be as broad as possible to include daycare facilities, schools. Obviously, if there's any objection or need for further discussion, we can always put it to April, but we will be prepared for the March council meeting otherwise.
Okay. Then I move that we recommend adoption of this change to full council for next Tuesday.
Okay. We have a motion. We have a second.
Second.
And a second. Is there any further discussion? All right. All in favor of the motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Just a second.
Thank you.
Okay, this brings us to item C, discussion and possible action with regard to the process for placing items on council meeting agendas. Mr. Rambo, I believe this is your item.
Yeah, so the reason I brought this forward is I just think that it's, there's some things that are a little bit weird in this process. So obviously, the goal is to have everything go through committee, if it can go through committee, and then it goes to council, and it gives any one council member an opportunity to basically bring something to a council meeting by placing on a committee, and then they can bring it to council. So I think that's a good thing. The caveat to that is, what if something comes up between, you know, the deadline for getting something on a committee agenda versus the council meeting the following Tuesday that a number of council members would like to bring forward to full council and maybe not wait a whole nother month? Well, they have an avenue to call a special meeting. Any three council members can call a special council meeting and talk about anything, put anything on the agenda. But that same language, it doesn't apply to a regular council meeting agenda. So it just seems like if something comes up between committee day and council day, as long as three council members sign off on putting that on the council agenda, I feel like it clarifies that there's a process to do that. And so that was the only, that was the reason I really brought this forward.
Okay.
I don't know what other people's thoughts are on that.
I agree with Jake.
Okay. So I,
you need a motion?
Wait a second. Ms. Hyatt wants to.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. It makes sense that if we could meet anyway, it might as well apply to bringing it to council for a public meeting, you know.
So let's clarify, if our agenda for next Tuesday closes now Wednesday afternoon at 4:30, if a council member called and said, hey, I want to put something on there, and it hasn't not gone through the committee, what we're envisioning is if three council members say that's okay, then it can go directly to council. But if only one or two want to bypass committees, or, as has happened to me several times, take a work in progress from a committee that I chair and put it on a council agenda. Why? I don't know. But when a committee's already working on something, for one council member to use that privilege to put it on the general council agenda is going against the process. So it would take three. So the clerk or the administrator, Eric, do you have any? Because I know you're the one who gets calls saying, I want this on the agenda. Yeah. And then you have to check with the committee chair. And because I think our rule now is if the committee chair says no, you can put it on directly too. Is that what it says?
Yes, sir. That's, well, yes, sir. In relation to committee, if a committee chair says no, then it can be advanced directly to council. That's correct.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, ma'am.
I was envisioning it, that the 4:30 deadline on Wednesday still applies.
Yes.
Correct.
We're talking about that. It's got to be within the deadline. It's
right.
Just a matter of how many people can actually put it on the agenda.
I think it would be three council members prior to the 4:30 p.m.
Yes.
Deadline. Because I think after that point in time, especially, I think that's not providing enough notice.
Well, if I may, it would only apply to something that hasn't gone to committee. We're not changing the fact that if something's discussed in this committee, for instance, then even a council member not on this committee can then put it on the agenda, and it only takes one. This would be something that, like I said, something that comes up, it didn't get in time for committee, but you don't want to wait a whole nother month. You might as well discuss it at the next meeting that you have anyway, and three people can sign off on it. So it's not changing the fact that one council member can still bring something from committee, because I think your scenario, what you're talking, can happen anyway, right?
I'm just saying when a committee has got work that it's doing and it hasn't finished, or it looked at all the aspects and other members of council weren't part of that conversation, and they say, but I want it on the agenda next month, and we're saying we've got more work to do, what purpose does that serve for one council member to yank it from a committee and throw it out there like it's going to be an ordinance or something when the committee's not even done its work? And in two cases of committees I chair, it just ended up coming right back to the committee anyway. There was no change in outcome other than more time spent, you know, in a council meeting and sometimes public uproar over something that came right back to the committee.
Well, I can see both sides to that, because I could see where a committee could sort of drag its feet a little bit on and defer things, or like not move as quickly as possible. And especially, you know, our committees are not a quorum. So, you know, you could have three or four committee members who are completely on one side of things, and then the majority of council members are actually on the other. So I think having the opportunity, I mean, just because that happened twice doesn't mean that would happen again. And it could move things forward more in a more timely fashion, you know, because I think sometimes things can get bounced around committee. Like I remember one time I was working on something and I think it took 8 months to get done because it kept getting pushed from committee to committee, and mm-hmm. and I had to and I was waiting for it to go to full council. So I think having the ability to say, you know what, this has been in committee long enough, let's just push it to get a decision more quickly is not a bad option to have, even if it does sometimes waste council time if someone kind of isn't in the majority and it gets sent back to committee. I think it's worth having that ability to prevent something from being dragged out for too long.
Could we agree and perhaps amend the motion that if a council member or three council members place something on the agenda, that it goes out, that it is placed on the agenda by them? Because otherwise it implies that council has done its work and is ready to vote on something and is ready, you know, if you're a member of the public, you think, oh, this is the night, this is first reading or whatever, when in fact it's going back. We know it, the committee hasn't finished its work. When you see things on there and it's, you know, discussion and possible action on, you take your pick. One time it was a transportation issue of mine and our committees and of the committee that I chaired, that it wasn't ready. There was no motion from the committee. It was just out there, just, I guess, to create public interest.
I would have a question for Mr. Pagliarini. I mean, can we, like, does it make for an agenda to have underneath it the name of the council member who put it on the agenda? I mean, is that something that is...
Yes, ma'am. This has been discussed a number of times over the years. And I mean, I'm not smiling at this provision, at least in my tenure, has been changed more than any other. It has, and swinging back and forth. Many council's committees have considered that idea as far as identifying on the agenda where the origination of that item. Is it a council, is it coming from planning commission, is it coming from a particular council member? That is commonly done at the sake of staff not liking what I'm about to say. It's not difficult to do. A matter can come from multiple places. It can come from staff through planning commission, and I think it is certainly something that our councils can consider as to how they want to identify from where items originate.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, ma'am.
I just think this creates almost like a wrong incentive structure in a way, because you know there may be issues that matter to all council members, and what is it going to be, like a race to Eric of being like, I want that on the agenda, I want the whole world to know that I put that item on the agenda and I'm going to take credit for it. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like, I don't know, I feel like it creates like a weird incentive system of, I mean, maybe it goes both ways. Maybe it's like, well, then nobody will put something on the agenda because they don't want to be identified. But I mean, you can always identify in the meeting. I mean, just like I asked you who placed, you know, item B on the agenda in the meeting. So I think if there's ever like a need for the origin to be explained, it could be done in the council meeting.
I'm talking about more the council meeting, not the committees.
Okay, yeah. But I think it could be explained in the council meeting. If we have someone who's, you know, brought something that was in the works in committee, I mean, it's so easy just to say, this person put this on the agenda. I don't know that it needs to be published on the actual agenda, because then that would apply to every single item on the agenda. Not, you know what I mean? I think that creates like a whole new layer of...
Mm-hmm. Probably only something that's under council new business, because everything else is a committee action item if it's come from the committee. If it's council new business, then either three council members or one council member under the scenario that Jake was talking about has just put it on there. And then you get calls from constituents when the, you know, or the agenda goes out and they say, what is this? You go, you know, I don't know. Somebody just put it on the agenda. Who put it on the agenda? Well, I don't know. It's transparency as far as I'm concerned. Why is it on the agenda and who put it on there? Yes, ma'am.
Did someone suggest that this apply to things that committees aren't working on, like something that maybe a chair refused to put on committee? I mean, it would make more sense.
No, that's not my intent. My intent is if something has gone to committee, that rule of one person, because right now one person can take any of our agenda items right here and put it on there no matter what we did with it. And I am not trying to change that at all. I'm just trying to give an avenue for if something was, if there was a certain time restraint or whatever, it didn't get in time for committee, but three council members can place it on the council agenda. So it would be something that hasn't even gone to committee, is what I'm suggesting. But what I'm saying is they can, right now, any three council members can call a special meeting, talk about whatever they want. So it just seems like it's a natural fit to me.
Yeah, I agree. So I'm just trying to figure out how this is different than what we're already able to do, other than just putting it on
the regular.
Because now we'd have to have like a special meeting.
The next day.
Maybe earlier and then start the council meeting.
Right. Correct.
Or later. So you're just saying, I mean, it's basically what we can already do. You're just saying put it on the regular meeting agenda instead of having a special meeting is the difference. It's the only difference.
Yeah.
Or it could be something that comes up this very timely. I'll give you an example. Our resolution about Senate Bill 40 about beach parking.
Yeah.
We got word from Senator Grooms, and he said, I would really like for y'all to do a resolution. Well, it didn't have time to go through committee. And it got put on the agenda because one council member can do it. All we're saying is something like that that comes out of nowhere, hadn't even had any committee stuff, that three council members could say it's an exigent circumstance. That was our word of the year for 2020, exigent. And it needs to be on there. Otherwise, it's kind of like a Christmas tree. Everybody can put their pet thing on there. And there's no limit. You could put something on multiple times. So anyway, we do have a motion. Would you restate the motion, by the way?
Oh, I don't think I made a motion.
We had a motion and a second. Ms. Hyatt seconded it.
No?
No.
No.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was thinking of the previous one. All right.
Well,
I thought you had made a motion.
I don't know the exact wording, but do you understand the intent?
Sir, my understanding is you wish to amend Section 30.35B agenda to allow three council members to place any matter on an agenda, whether it has been through committee or not. I think
correct.
It's
so
the
I
bottom
make
line.
That in the form of a motion.
Yeah.
All right. Still subject to the 4:30 Wednesday deadline.
Correct.
So that's
yes.
My
still subject to the deadline.
I'll second
yes.
That.
Okay. So we have a motion and a second. I think everybody just heard it from the attorney. Any further discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right. The motion passes.
Okay. So while we're still on, before we move on to the next agenda item. I know that Mr. Pagliarini had sent us an email, I think it was Friday, kind of notes for this meeting. He did bring up a good point that I didn't really, it really wasn't the intent of me bringing it forward, but I think it's worth discussion is, so one council member can request that an item be placed on a committee. And then once an item has been on committee, any council member can put it on the agenda. But what's not clear is there a time frame for that? Like, could you go back and say, oh, well, this some random item was on an agenda in, you know, 2017. Mm-hmm. It was on a committee agenda. Well, you've met the ordinance, right? So anyway, I'm not saying we changed that. I'm just saying his email kind of made me think of things that I thought were worthy of discussion.
Present committees.
That you
work with.
Or at least the last 2 months, maybe. I don't know. But I don't know what everybody's thoughts are on that or if y'all were able to see that.
I think and maybe like a rolling six-month basis may make sense, because items may come through committee and die down due to, for whatever reason, and then it comes up again, and you would want to be able to bring it back. But I think having it be limited to a rolling six-month basis, I don't know that it's a significant issue. I think we haven't come across that in the council setting, but I guess if someone could go back through 20 years of minutes and say, I'm going to put these 20 things on the agenda because they've all been through. And sometimes you get ornery council members who might do something like that. So maybe we should have something in place.
We, of course, don't have any of those right
now. We don't have any of those, not in my memory.
Maybe, how about we put that on next month's committee agenda?
Yes, sir, we can. And
all right.
In the meantime, again, ma'am, as you said, I don't think it's caused any issue, but we have sort of stretched the reasonable, not stretch, but we've looked at the reasonableness as to what exactly was discussed at committee, meaning is it a variant? Does someone put on a council agenda a variant as of what was discussed at committee? And also the time frame. Those are just, we could make this 10 pages long with all the various ifs, ands, or buts on it. And again, I'm not suggesting that there's been really any concern, and typically we just apply a reasonableness standard. As the mayor said, I do think it's prudent to consider the committee as constructed, meaning if you're looking, say, January of 2023, at a committee that was in a different form prior to an election, perhaps that might be, mm-hmm. you know, might be an exception to that rolling 6 month if that's the wish of council. But we'll put some ideas together for this committee to consider.
In my goal with the first thing that I talked about, and even this is really, you know, Mr. Pagliarini and Mr. DeMora can be put in some really weird situations when it's unambiguous, or it's ambiguous, whichever one worked there. when it's not clear, is that, you know, they might be getting pressure from some people like, no, this shouldn't be allowed. And then some people are like, no, it should be allowed. And it's like, if we have clear processes, it doesn't put our staff in like a weird situation. You know?
Agreed.
And Mr. Pagliarini, in a sense, the reason that public bodies meet publicly, and granted, you've told us too, rules for committees are somewhat different because this committee cannot enact anything, it can only recommend. So rules are a little different, not much, but a little. But the whole reason that a body, an elected body, meets publicly to vote is to vote publicly and be transparent. It doesn't mean that every agenda item, right, is necessarily like a public hearing where we think out loud and we talk out loud and all that. There's a process for that, but that council meeting is for us to vote publicly. Is that correct?
I think so, Mayor, and that is the basis. And as you are well aware, that the many changes that we made just a few years ago to our processes, agenda, public discussion, mm-hmm. and the like, mm-hmm. And I think, I mean, just it has become so much more efficient because we have moved more towards that theory. And yes, sir, I try to remain consistent on that, but I think that's a correct statement.
Okay. I hope that makes some sense.
Yeah.
All right. Are we at item D? Mm-hmm. Discussion and possible action with regard to a resolution to the General Assembly regarding Mount Pleasant representation in the State House and Senate. I believe Mr. Rambo put this on the agenda.
Yes, I did. I believe Ms. Whitley requested as well. Feel free to take it.
Oh, no, you start. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. So so I know we had a public comment regarding this, and it's always kind of something that has bothered me, I think, prior to Mr. Bustos getting elected, between the Senate and the House, in a town of 90,000 people, we had zero people that actually lived in the town, mm-hmm. that were state representatives in Columbia. With Mr. Bustos, we now have one, but in the Senate, in the state Senate, you know, three districts involve Mount Pleasant, as our public comment said, and none of them live in the town of Mount Pleasant, and really, truly, are thinking putting Mount Pleasant first, essentially. And so that's why I brought this up for discussion. It is not a partisan issue. I'm not talking about how the lines are drawn, whether they're Democratic districts or Republican districts or whatever. I'm just saying that, you know, I think it's worth sending some sort of resolution saying that, you know, when they're redistricting, we would like for Mount Pleasant to be really considered.
Ms. Whitley.
Yeah, I agree with Mr. Rambo. You know, this is something that we, you know, Mayor, you've talked about it. We've all talked about it for years that, you know, how could there be no, you know, until Mr. Bustos, nobody from Mount Pleasant and as the fourth largest municipality in the state to have that representation. So I think that sending a resolution to encourage, you know, when they redraw those district lines, because right now, as Mr. McGill said, you know, there's such small percentages of our town is divvied up into such small sections that even if you have a candidate out of Mount Pleasant, it's really hard to have that candidate win in the district because there's so many other regions. So I think this is important. I'm very thankful to Mr. McGill for bringing this up. I think this is something that has been kind of bubbling in the background for a long time, and I think the opportunity is now to make a statement in that direction.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree.
I just want to add, too, though, we need to tread carefully on this. For instance, none of our state senators live here, but aren't we thankful that Senator Grooms introduced S-40 about beach parking? He didn't have to do that. And that helps us with the big issue for our citizens. And Senator Campson, who I met with a week before last, is helping us try to get a favorable placement on Crab Bank because he heads the powerful Senate committee that does that. So rather than, I think, give the impression that we're dissatisfied with the level of service that we're getting, I think what we need to say is, and Jake, you and I were talking about this, as they draw those district lines, that Mount Pleasant deserves a stronger voice. You know, I don't know any municipality that has one Senate. See, there is no one senator from Charleston, one from Columbia, one from Greenville, whatever. But I think the ratios could be a lot higher for Mount Pleasant to have a voice in the Senate and the House elections. I know they're talking about looking at one of our large House districts, and they just said it's too expansive. It covers too many bases. House is different. You could have one House district that's all Mount Pleasant and one that's all Charleston. Senate's going to be a little bit different. So can we, as we proceed, think of the wording of this that's not like, okay, pick two of our senators and kick one of them out. Yeah, I mean, keep one and kick the other two out. That's not what we're saying here. But we would like, you know, I live in District 105, House District 105, that's only really about three neighborhoods in Mount Pleasant. Mm-hmm. That's a very strange situation. And so I just want to get the pulse of the committee for exactly what it is we're trying to say. We don't want to go from eight to four, right? One senator and three House districts. But we want Mount Pleasant to be drawn. We want more of Mount Pleasant to be drawn in all of the districts. Is that what we're trying to say? I'm just trying to, not trying to ask leading questions, but defining questions, I think.
I think maybe just like a statement to the effect of recognizing that Mount Pleasant is the fourth largest municipality in the state,
okay,
that we are underrepresented in the state house due to the district lines, and that we invite them to consider that when redrawing the districts.
Is that a motion?
Second.
That is a motion.
Guess what? It is now.
That is a motion.
Is this something that...
said, thank you.
is this something that you can send out wording and we can have for Monday night, Tuesday night? Or does it need to come back?
No, sir.
It's just a resolution.
Yes, sir. I think we can do that. If I understand the language, we'll send it out and y'all can comment on it as Great. You see fit.
Do you have questions? I know we rambled a lot, but I think what I hear is we're not saying draw people out of Mount Pleasant and only draw people in, but increase our representation in district lines.
Right. Yes, sir. I think as I understand it, the points are fourth largest municipality. We may or may not go into the history of Mount Pleasant representatives elected to the
important.
State House
yeah.
and the Senate,
mm-hmm.
That the current lines provide, or at least indicate that there is a significant minority in each of the various districts. And the request is that this underrepresentation, we're requesting a more fair and equitable representation in the town of Mount Pleasant. I guess the question I have, is this for all districts, state senate districts, House as well?
I think that's the intention. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Senate and House. Okay. All right. Remind me, did we vote? We did, didn't we?
We haven't voted.
No. Okay. Any other comments?
No.
All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. The next item is executive session to discuss a personnel matter. I understand that we'll be going into 2B, and also understand on advice of our attorney that I am to say that if the vote is positive, we may take action on any item that was on a properly noticed agenda, and that we will have to reconvene to take any action.
Move to go to executive session.
For the reason of?
For the reason to discuss a personnel matter.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. We are in executive session. Let the record show that we have reconvened, whatever time it is, officially. In executive session, we received information. No votes were cast and no action was taken. I don't believe there's anything to come out of that. If not, the next item on our agenda is to adjourn. Nothing before this committee. We stand adjourned.
Thank you.
Lunch is upstairs.
Hey, Jay. Mm-hmm.